This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manicero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G-S, find our podcast and subscribe. Well, I am very stoked about today's guest. This is a gentleman who has been on the Old Dogs REI Network before and was a great show back in March of 2019. Talked about investing in real estate for only $10. A great show, real popular show that people like a lot. Well, I'm talking about Brian Daly. And Brian is the co-founder, director, and CEO of Ground Floor. He is responsible for setting long-term direction and goals for the company, executive management, financing, and strategic partnerships. Brian's 20-year career building disruptive technology startups include stints in Silicon Valley, Boston, London, and the North Carolina Triangle region prior to moving to Atlanta to start Ground Floor in 2014. Previously, he led the launch of Republic Wireless to take on the big four cell phone carriers to international acclaim. As a result, millions more Americans can now afford a smartphone. Brian has a JD from Harvard Law School, an MBA from Harvard Business School, and a BA with highest distinction from the University of Virginia. Well, Brian, welcome back to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Oh, it's great to be back, Bill. Thanks for having me.
It's great having you. If you wouldn't mind, just kind of bring us up to date on where Ground Floor is and what's happened since we last talked.
Well, a lot of growth and a lot of ups and downs. You know, an old finance or business adage that I appreciate is, you know, if you stand back far enough from the chart, it all looks up and to the right. But the truth is, every journey has its peaks and valleys. COVID was definitely a valley for us. It's had a few effects on the company. I think really positive in the end. We've learned a lot during this time. You know, the company's been running for nine years now, and so we've stood the test of time. It's great to put our model to the test. If you wind the clock back to 2019, the last time I was on, we, like a lot of lenders, were experimenting with, you know, most lenders will turn around and, you know, either, you know, they'll sell whole loans to institutional buyers because Wall Street has a big appetite, you know, for what we do. They will take other forms of institutional capital and put it to work, you know, maybe via a private equity fund or something. We were formatted and still are very differently. We sell a security to individual retail investors that allows anyone to participate in real estate investment loans with just $10. That means, you know, even if you only have a couple thousand dollars to invest, you can build a very well diversified portfolio of a couple hundred loans. Of course, most people invest more than that with us, but it's a great way for people of all investing profiles to get to participate. What changed for us as COVID hit, the institutions rug pulled pretty much every originator I know. We had about 30% of our business flowing to institutions. And it caused us, along with in March of 2020, along with almost every peer I know of, to have to pause lending. It's hard to imagine. That was 2 years ago when COVID really dawned. And it was a wake-up call for us. We pivoted our business to be 100% funded by retail investors. We launched a new product that enabled people to lend us money so that we could finance originations again. We saw a huge influx of new investors on the platform who sort of woke up to the power of being a debt investor, you know, to being the bank. And the company, you know, weathered that. We turned the corner pretty quickly. And by summertime, we started doubling our lending every month. We're now lending out about 30 to 40 million a month, which is what, four times the volume that we were lending out before COVID.
Wow.
We've gone from, you know, something like 30 employees back in 2019 to now 105. We have tens of thousands of individual investors who power the platform. And we've actually recently taken on a big strategic investment from a real estate investing entity that sees the future for capital markets the same way that we do, and is actually going to put a bunch of money to work on the platform right alongside retail investors. So the company looks very different today in terms of size, scale, capability. We've launched some new products that I'm excited to share. But I'll tell you, it caused us, the whole experience caused us to double down on our mission. We are financed in a very unique way. That's the reason we not only survived but thrived through COVID and are here on the other side, able to do more with investors and for investors than we ever could before. So it's been a really exciting and dynamic period, you know, for us.
Oh man, and it sounds like you definitely took you know, what was a difficult situation and been able to turn it around and leverage it into success here, which is fantastic.
Well, I think many of your listeners know that it's not fun to be on the losing side of the old rule, you know, the old law that he who holds the gold makes the rules. Mm-hmm. Not fun to be on the downside of that. And many of us were, right? When COVID came, we had a large buyer that we were really proud of, a big private equity investor on a global scale who had, you know, gone through 6 or 9 months of due diligence with us, did the first trade with us in sort of December, January of 2019, 2020, and, you know, pulled the rug right out from under us, you know, in
Ouch.
March or April.
Man.
And as institutional investors did come back into the market, of course, they came back into the market with very tight credit criteria. A lot of them were bottom fishing, you know, trying to buy credit for 80 cents on the dollar and really take advantage of originators and investors. And I think that's what happens in these markets, right? And we're trying to build capital markets, and our vision for capital markets is different from that. It's a break from the past, and it's working. You know, I think that's what we learned. We're like, we dipped our toe into the traditional world. We got burned, but we also went right back to our religion, you know, the religion of the retail investor.
Yeah, well, it's, and I think that that's what your success is, and I also think that that's what this season in our economy is even more ripe for, because a lot of people are just shying away from, you know, doing properties themselves right now. I mean, there are those that are, you know, and maybe in the multifamily sphere that right now is just going crazy, mobile home parks. But there's a lot of those folks that, you know, that you know, have been trying to do it themselves, and you know, they're dealing with a lot of the same challenges. They maybe had to do a forbearance or what have you with their rentals, and they're looking at more passive forms of income. And that's why I really thought that this would be a great time for you to come on, because maybe you can explain the model a little bit too, even though many people know who you are. I still would love to just kind of explain how it works and how it works for investors.
I mean, quite simply, especially in times like these, it's good to be the bank. It's really good to be the bank. It's great to have a first lien position with a high yield loan. You know, it's good to be the bank. It's also important that we have sources of financing that are durable, right? Because just because we have a market that moves sideways or becomes turbulent doesn't mean that there's not good business to do. And so our model is this. We stand ready to fund real estate investment loans for single family residential new construction and renovation in about 30 markets all over the country. We make a loan that's typically around $200,000, but could go up to $1.5 million, could go down to maybe $50,000 to $75,000 on the low end. We are allowing a lot more leverage than you will get from traditional sources. And we have a key feature, which is we don't require monthly payments on the credit while it's outstanding. We just balloon and defer all interest until the end. That's a very, very unusual feature and one that's highly beneficial to people who partner with us to finance their projects, because we, like you, want your money going into the project that we financed, and you want to have free capital available to go do other projects and to continue investing. So I think in this next phase of market development for people who are finding deals and want capital, we can be a very reliable and strategic partner. The reason that's true and that it's very different from anyone else who makes these types of loans out there in the market is we're financed by retail investors. So we qualified a security with the Securities and Exchange Commission back in 2015 that allows us to sell fractions of these loans $10 at a time to anybody on the web. And we now have over 170,000 people who have registered with us to invest. The pool of capital is deep and broad. It has a healthy appetite for, you know, across the risk spectrum, whether it's a low leverage loan to an experienced, you know, borrower that's only going to yield at the low end 6 or 7%, or whether it's a higher leverage loan to a less experienced borrower, you know, with collateral that may not be as well margined, that's at the higher end of the risk spectrum and might yield 12%. On average, these loans have yielded our investors about 10% per year on an annualized basis. And what's really special about this offering is in this environment, it's a no volatility offering, right? There's a debt is inherently less volatile than equity. This class of debt typically repays in about 9 or 10 months. That's a very short term. And what we've noticed investors are doing on the platform is they ladder. So even if you only had, you know, a few thousand dollars to invest, if you invested that in a few hundred loans over the course of a few months, you're always going to have yield coming back to you. There's a lot of cash flow, and people kind of miss that. You know, it's very different from a REIT, right? If I go to a REIT and I lock up my capital in the fund, you know, the REIT gets my capital. They get to tell me when I can have it back. Their redemption periods, if it's not a public REIT, you can always sell your public REIT on the stock market. But with non-traded REITs, you know, you can't get your capital back when you want to. You get, you know, maybe at best an 8% dividend, which, you know, sounds pretty good until you realize that you're locked in with the core of your capital for a period of time. You're going to be penalized for withdrawing it sooner than maybe 3 years. That's not a very appetizing, you know, proposition for times like this, having your capital locked up like that. But what's special about Groundfloor is because you're investing in a portfolio of loans that you choose and you control, there's always a loan being paid back in your portfolio. Pretty much every week, I'm repaid on a handful of loans. And if you want to, you could peel off, you know, 10% of your portfolio every month in steady state. And that's not just a 10%, you know, yield, like interest on an annualized basis, which is like 2% a quarter, you know, or less than 1% a month. That's literally 10% of your portfolio is available to you about every month. So it's a very compelling retail investor product for a time like this, because you get the benefit of first lien position, you have a short maturity, and you have an exceptional yield, you know, that averages out to 10%. And it's very predictable because the loss ratio is very low. It's always been for us over 9 years below 1%. And that's even true during COVID, when obviously it became more challenging, you know, to sell property and to complete it on time. Although the pricing's been good, obviously the price has been nuts on the exits, as you guys know. But anyway, that's what we do. That's the model. What's special about the company is this retail investor offering. It allows us to serve people who borrow capital from us, the people we finance, in a better way than a traditional lender can.
Right. Yeah, I think it works great on both ends. There's probably people listening going, hey, you know, I should talk to them about this project I have going on and, you know, see if I can get lending, you know, funds for that. So, but I also, you know, think that what's nice is the flexibility. Like you mentioned, you do have a range of, you know, if you want to go with a, you know, really solid, I guess it's an investor that's got a track record and doing really well, you know, you may get a little bit lower return, but it's, you know, it's a solid return. And or you want to go for something that's a little higher and maybe higher risk, you've got that option. But you've also got short term and long term too. I know that, you know, some of these projects it can be in a few months, right?
Yeah,
you know, and it's almost like hard money.
It is, and we also sell a product on the platform called the Ground Floor Note that is open to people once you've been with us for about a year, or if you're an accredited investor, we can sell it to you right away. You know, these are short-term notes that are, you know, 30 days or 90 days or a year that are backed by a pool of loans that we've originated and are awaiting sale, you know, to the retail investors. Now, they don't yield what the loans themselves yield, of course, because they're shorter term and lower risk. By the numbers, but the, you know, it's a great offering for people who want to park cash for a month or 3 months, or, you know, don't want to have to worry about picking and choosing properties and managing a portfolio. You know, there are now more passive, you know, sort of pooled options available on the platform too.
That's great. Yeah, that's almost like a fund.
It is, in a way. Yeah. The good thing is that it, unlike a fund, it pays you back on a specified timeline. You know, it's a note.
Right.
So, you know, and we'll sell, you know, I think we have over almost $60 million of capital from investors just in those notes alone. And that's what we use to finance, you know, the originations that we make every month. We use that as lending capital. And so it's a great trade for us, and it's a good value for the investor, you know, to sort of, you know, put some capital to work without tying it up for an indeterminate period of time.
Yeah, that's great. And what about Stairs? That's a new one, right?
It is. We realize that there's a huge market of people who are tired of banks paying them so little for their cash. And we realized, basically just observing the success of our Ground Floor Notes program, we said, well, what if we packaged this in an app? You know, especially for the younger generation, that's how they do everything. You know, it's true for me too, even though I'm in the old dog over 50 club now. you know, but I run a lot of my life that way. I guess a lot of us do. But we decided to experiment really with an app that would allow you to put, you know, invest a little bit of cash, not have to pick and choose properties, and not have to wait to withdraw your money either. The app pays 4%. Interest, you know, and allows you to withdraw at any time. So you're just like a Ground Floor Note. You're investing money with us. You're lending it to us so that we can use it to, you know, originate loans. We're paying you 4% for that, and it's a very highly liquid, high yield. I think of it as like a high yield savings account. Of course, it's not backed by the FDIC, so it's not exactly a savings account. But it is backed by a pool of real estate loans, you know, that we've originated. And so relative to other options on the market that yield that, it's pretty secure, you know?
Yeah, it's a great product. I actually have it, but I'm getting 6%.
So. Well, yes, because you've qualified for the, you played the game.
Exactly.
if you play the game and you turn on auto investing so that you're investing every month, and if you turn on your roundups to round up your spare change, then you get 6%. So you're playing the game. Good for you.
Well, it's a great product. It really is.
Thank you. And I
think a lot of people are, you know, even looking at banks and saying, okay, FDIC, what really are they, you know, are they guaranteeing you? And if you really read the fine print when you open a savings account, I mean, they can take your money if they want to. And and that for every financial period of correction that we've had, that has happened. And so I look at real estate, to me, is, you know, you just can't get much more solid than that.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I'm obviously biased. I think I'm a big fan of real estate. I'm especially a fan of real estate debt because, you know, this is a market where we've seen exceptional price appreciation. Mm-hmm. Houses are behaving like meme stocks and cryptocurrencies.
Right.
You know, that's what's happening. And I think it would be very easy to become a bag holder on the wrong side of that trade at this point in the market. I think the supply and demand, you know, dynamics tell us that house prices aren't likely to plummet in most markets. I think we can expect some stability, but I think, you know, we're probably going to revert to a mean of returns for equity holders in these markets. I think that has probably already begun. If you look at what builders are saying about how many buyers are lining up, you know, for projects and what the demand is like, I mean, to be clear, we're still undersupplied relative to demand.
Right.
But, and we will be for a long time. But I think that's going to start to show up in some sideways price movement at minimum. And I just think the value isn't there to take the equity risk today, unless, and this is a notable exception, unless you are a value added renovator or builder. There, I think you can be rewarded for adding value. But I think the idea of just simply speculating or taking a passive position in this asset class, I think that's played out. And I think that's, I think the debt investors are going to soundly thump the equity investors over the next, you know, cycle. Right. No question about it.
Well, it looks like there's a lot of things ahead that we really, are uncertain about. And I also wanted to get your thoughts on that too. One, you know, rising interest rates and two, just the economy, the incredible debt the nation has and how you guys are sort of preparing and positioning for that.
Well, I think you put it exactly right. The most important thing to consider is how are we positioning for it? I mean, nobody knows what's going to happen. I think if history is any guide, there will be a period where capital becomes more scarce. We plan to be well positioned to make sure that we have plentiful capital to arm our strategic partners, our borrowers, the investors who put money to work. We want to make sure we are right there with ample capital. The reason I know that we will be is because our capital network is built like the internet itself. So you may blow up one part of the capital network or one node on the network, but the great virtue of a distributed network of anything is that it can withstand, you know, that kind of disruption. I think that's true with our capital network. That's certainly that was proven in my mind beyond a reasonable doubt during COVID. We saw that happen in real time. It was amazing to see how much retail capital poured in. And right as institutional capital was running for the hills, by the way, mm-hmm. The smart money was running for the hills, but the retail investor was right there. So I think the number one way we're preparing is to make sure that we are properly capitalized. We have a broad enough capital network that's healthy and vibrant and is there. The second thing that we've been doing to prepare is double checking and putting on belts and suspenders in the area of asset management. We have become much more rigorous now that we have over 1,000 loans in our portfolio, we have become very rigorous in how we work with our borrowers, you know, to understand what's happening out there. I mean, COVID, the effects of COVID still last. I mean, labor shortages, supply shortages, delays in permitting. You know, the one thing that it has been working is selling the houses, right? The pricing upside. These delays have actually worked to the benefit of a lot of people because they sell their property for more because it took more time. But I think that some of that will start to abate. Through this period, we've become stronger asset managers. And the key trick with asset management is to really make sure you understand the position of the asset in the market that you're in. So the market locale, the market, sort of dynamics. And we've now built a large enough network of real estate investors in different areas of the country. For example, we launched a joint venture in Jacksonville recently, where we're very very well represented in Jacksonville, as we are in Atlanta. We'll be doing that in other markets. We're positioning ourselves to have enough scale and enough critical mass to be able to asset manage through challenging periods like COVID. And I think that's going to be a big help too. So between those two things, having a really broad capital network and sort of being set up to asset manage through difficult times at scale, I think we're positioning ourselves for whatever comes our way. And of course, we don't know what pandemic or geopolitical conflict or what have you might come. But we feel very well prepared.
That's great. That's great to hear. And this may be a dumb question here, but this merging that's going on right now with blockchain and real estate I don't know if it's just a thing, it's going to go away, or if it's really going to, you know, become a major part of what's happening in terms of transactions within real estate. Has that been anything that's crossed your desk there in terms of any kind of consideration of moving, maybe into, you know, some sort of a crypto currency or, in what you do?
Well, anyone who follows me on Twitter knows I'm a fan. I'm a fan, which I'm just Brian with an I underscore Dally, for those of you who are on Twitter. The truth is, cryptocurrency as a class, I think the jury is out on, on what will happen, which cryptocurrencies will have the effect on decentralized finance that, you know, they're positioned to have. I don't have a dog in that hunt. You know, I don't have a horse in that race. I do stand back and look at it as a generational change in finance. It's important to how financial enterprises, funds, investments are managed, how liquidity, comes to bear, how people even think about investing and ownership. And I think there is a lot of prospect for reducing friction and increasing agency. And I'm here for that. Whether it's centralized or decentralized, I tend to think decentralized is better, but I'm here for human agency. I think people are smart enough to make their own decisions. They're smart enough to custody their own assets. I don't think a lot of the friction that our current financial intermediaries impose is necessary. I think the world will be a better place when we remove some of, as much friction of that as we can. Mm-hmm. I think that will help many, many people in many spheres. I think real estate is one of them. We've looked at how to incorporate cryptocurrency into what we do. I think for us, it's a long-term roadmap. What I coach our team about is let's not embrace a technology and then find a problem that it solves. Let's find real customer problems that can best be solved, through the application of this new technology. And we have a couple of ideas about that. I don't have anything to announce or share today, but it's something we're tinkering with. I think some of the interesting problems, in real estate investing can be solved, or, potentially someday around title. boy, you know, as somebody who went to law school and looks at blockchain technology, I think, well, okay, there's a use case. But talk about something that is tough to unpack from its current incumbency.
Well, serious.
That is a tough one. Yeah. But a lot of us in real estate would love that to be solved. That's the big daddy. But I think there's also, you know, interesting problems that can be solved around secondary liquidity, you know, with a distributed sort of blockchain approach. We're taking a pretty, you know, measured, you know, stance toward it. And I have a personal interest. So I think that will probably lead us to go there sooner rather than later. But yeah, it's an interesting rabbit hole to go down, for sure. You know, decentralized finance in particular.
Right. Is
an interesting rabbit hole.
Yeah. Well, in terms of, you know, your focus, you have a very deep, you know, you spelled out your target retail alliance or partner you work with. Are you looking at, you know, maybe moving into other areas like multifamily, commercial, as part of what you're doing?
Well, we've come to know the resi market very, very well. And I think we have realize that what we do, it works really, really well in that market. We've experimented with some multifamily. We've considered experimenting with some commercial. I think anything that a bank can finance at low scale, especially a community bank, our model can finance better. It's only a question of time. So we have an appetite for that. I think we're just looking for the right entry points and the right adjacencies in the markets where we serve. I mentioned, for example, you know, that we are focusing locally in Jacksonville, and there will be about a dozen other markets where we do something similar, you know, a similar level of scale to reach critical mass. I think that's going to enable us and help activate a roadmap to move into some other categories. We're really realizing that we have a privileged position as a supplier of debt capital, that we can do that in a lot of categories better than anybody because of our model. So we're interested in applying it some other places. We haven't done that yet, but it's something we're thinking about. And it, you know, the more we grow as a company, you know, the more wherewithal we have to go expand into some of those areas. So I'm pretty excited about that.
That's great. Well, it just looks like you've got some great things happening, and I follow you guys too, you know, because I'm also, you know, involved and invested. But I really think that it's one of those areas that just isn't being provided for. There's a lot of folks that, for example, that are not accredited investors that are getting the types of returns that an accredited investor can get and through your platform. And I just think that, you know, it's a great place for new investors, especially maybe even somebody starting out that just wants to understand how it works. And being on the lending side, I think you're in a much better position than necessarily the guy that's got to put the project together.
Well, and people don't understand that. Right. People don't understand the difference between being a debt investor versus an equity investor, because we're all conditioned to think that investing is equity investing. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, if you're not a bank or you're not a private equity fund or a family office or something, or you haven't, waded into the water of being a hard money lender, you don't really understand what investing in debt is. It's very uncommon for people. But as people become oriented to it, I think they're going to realize that, you know, it should have a place in everybody's portfolio. And we are dead serious about opening up this world to individual retail investors. We think everybody deserves their fair share of that pie. We think it can have a huge impact on retirement portfolios, people's ability to invest and provide for themselves over the long term through thick and thin. And, you know, that's why we started the company, was to do that. And we're so serious about it that we've even stepped away from raising capital from private equity for venture capital. We now raise capital from our customers, right? Our customers supply the venture capital to grow our company. And our company is now 30% owned, you know, by our customers.
That's crazy.
We've raised over $30 million of equity capital, growth capital, from our customers. So we're dead serious about it. We are in the corner of the retail investor, and we're excited to see where this all leads, right? We feel like we're unpacking it, and it feels as fresh and vibrant today, 9 years in, as the day we started it, you know, back in 2013.
Wow, it's great. And your resiliency, you know, during the COVID years there, shows that there's something there of substance. And I think it's something, you know, a lot of people need to know about. But wow. Well, Brian, this has been great having you on. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you think, you know, you might want to present here before we...
I would just encourage people who have an interest in this and want to dip their toe in to... you know, pay a visit to our blog. We publish a lot of data that I think, whether you're an investor with us or not, will prove pretty interesting. I'd give you three examples. Every month, we publish an asset management report that shows what properties we sold, or loans we repaid, the price that the property actually sold for. And we compare that to the price we predicted. Actually, we wear that on our sleeve. We disclose that. And we are very honest and forthright about, okay, what were our foreclosures? What were our defaults? You know, we wear all of that on our sleeve and publish all of it. And we're very forthright about describing what went right and what went wrong. And I think that's the right way to treat people who we believe are fully formed and fully capable agents. We also publish portfolio data showing how our portfolio as a whole has performed. We publish that about twice a year. So you can see sort of, you know, how's it going, you know, for us as a lender, and you can kind of read into what's happening in the broader real estate market from that. And then we also publish one of my favorite, it's coming out just this week, is our diversification analysis that plots every portfolio, something like 35,000 portfolios.
Oh, man.
That have had a loan repay, plots it on an XY scatter plot where X is the return on average that the portfolio has earned. That's the y-axis, and the x-axis is how many loans that portfolio invested in. And so it's very interesting for students of finance. It's very interesting to see how predictable the returns are once you have a sufficiently large number of observations. So we geek out on it, and people who like this kind of thing, I think, would enjoy absorbing some of that content on our blog.
Oh, that's great. Great. Well, I hope some folks will do that. Where exactly is the blog and the website?
Sure. The website's just groundfloor.com, and the blog is at blog.groundfloor.us. So, and it's also linked off the website, so you can find it there. But I think for people who have who we've piqued their curiosity, I think that's a good place to go to kind of dive deeper.
Love it. Wow. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And man, exciting stuff going on over there. And sounds like a lot more ahead. Great hearing from you and catching up.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you again, Bill. Thanks.
Well, it's been my pleasure. And I also want to thank all our old dog listeners out there for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot. And we really appreciate it. Please note everything that Brian talked about today will be outlined in detail in our show notes with links and all the other things that pertain. And that's at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode with Brian Daly. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.